Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin, and the guy who's mowing Pipe's lawn right outside his window. We are all here.
Trying to do rich people things.
Doing rich people things. We're all here in studio, ready to make radio magic. But Piper, you shared a distressing bit of news with me, which is that it sounds like Dwell Bible is kind of taking a break from us. It's not a breakup, it's just a break. So they're taking the month of December off, which means we have a new sponsor for today's episode. So Piper,
yeah, it wasn't us, it was them.
Yeah.
Just to be
clear. Just need some time.
Yes.
Need to date Jesus for a little while, which is good for a Bible company, I'm not gonna lie.
Which gives us a chance to date an entirely different wonderful organization for the month of December. So that's what we're gonna do.
Piper, who are we dating? Who are we taking a coffee right now? Who are we getting to know?
We're going to go have a wonderful get-to-know-you conversation with Compassion International,
there we go.
Actually. So most of our listeners will probably have crossed paths with Compassion at some point. They're a pretty well-known organization dedicated to alleviating poverty around the world, especially in caring for children. So they've set up a special link for our listeners. If you go to compassion.com/thehappyrant, their big thing is sponsoring children. That's sort of the main way that they work with churches and individuals to take care of kids around the world. So if you go again to compassion.com/thehappyrant, you will see just an array of photographs and a chance to sign up to sponsor children from Bangladesh, from Bolivia, from Haiti, from Togo, from Ecuador, kind of all over the world. And they have a really great system set up where it's a monthly donation along with a clear set of instructions on how to be in touch with these kids, how to essentially develop a long distance relationship where you can see a child of 4 or 5 or 6 years old all the way through their school age years, supporting them, making sure they have school supplies, food, etc. They also have a whole bunch of links on here that help you just understand the scope of what they do. If you just want to do a one-time donation or understand how they use the money that you're donating, if you're somebody who's, you know, you're concerned about the ethics of things. So again, go to compassion.com/thehappyrant. And we would love it if our listeners just signed up to sponsor a ton of these kids. There's dozens on this page, as well as they have a lot available. There's just a lot of need, and what better time than heading into the holidays, heading into the new year, to take on this as a chance to be generous, to give, to use the money that God has blessed us with to take care of somebody out there who has less than we do in a material sense. So again, compassion.com/thehappyrant. Go and sign up to sponsor one of these kids. That would be awesome.
Wonderful, Pipe. Well said. I like it. And speaking of...
Have you guys ever sponsored a kid?
Yeah, I actually have a weird story about that. Can I lay it on you real quick?
Depends on how weird, but sure, go ahead. When have we ever stopped each other?
It's weird in as much as, okay, so this was like a decade ago, and I'd been contracted by a Christian publisher. I'm not going to say which one. It's not about that. To write a book about Christian music, about CCM. And needless to say, the book never saw the light of day. I think the manuscript that I turned in was just a smidge too cynical. Imagine that. But as a part of writing this manuscript, I had to go to a series of concerts and like festivals. And I went to this concert one time, and there was a band who like kind of held the whole audience hostage in that they wouldn't start playing their set until like all these... kids had been sponsored. So they literally like had the folders up on stage and people were like raising their hands to come and sponsor these kids, and they wouldn't start playing until they were all gone. So it was weird. I didn't sponsor one that night because I had just finished like paying for two international adoptions and we were broke, but I still felt kind of guilted into it.
I mean, that's a sort of long-term.
It's a long-term sponsorship. It's a long game. Yeah. It's
We encourage international adoption on this podcast as well.
We do.
Or domestic.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of ways to do this well.
Absolutely. And you know what else we encourage, Piper? People to buy expensive bags from Saddleback Leather. And if they've got a few dollars left over after sponsoring kids at Compassion, they can invest that in a exorbitantly priced leather bag, and we have some of those bags to give away today, don't we, Pipe?
We do. So, listeners, you will remember that a month or two ago, I think it was the month of October, we had Saddleback as a sponsor, and we promoted repeatedly, you can sign up to win one of these things, or for a chance to win. There was no guarantee. Yeah. Well, Saddleback has come through with the winners of the five different items they were giving away. So this is the announcement of who those winners are.
Man, this is huge.
Saddleback will follow up. This Saddleback will follow up with the winners to make sure that you get the item, hopefully in time for Christmas, to make it a very Merry Christmas for you. But here they are. So for the front pocket ID wallets, that's like the thin, really nice leather wallet. That goes out to Casey Hodges. Congratulations, Casey. Won the wallet. So you will now be the person who pulls out your wallet at a Starbucks or at the grocery store, and the person on the other side of the counter will go, "Where'd you get that?
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet."
Oh, yeah.
So you get to be that guy, Casey.
It's a conversation starter.
All right. Yeah. Then we have the Little Big Mouth toiletry bag. This goes out to Kelsey Mattis or Modis. Kelsey, my guess is you probably won't get the same comments because you won't be pulling the toiletries bag out in public as often. You will just feel, kind of extra classy as you are getting ready for your day while traveling. Like this would be perfect for Ron and all of his hotel stays.
Yeah. All the hotel stays. The travel
experience. It's shocking I don't have one, boys. I'm just going to put it to you that way.
The maid at the Hyatt place would be really impressed with your travel.
Yeah, she'll walk in at about 11 a.m. when you're off at conference meetings, and she'll be cleaning the bathroom and replacing the towels and just marveling at
I might have to lock that thing up, actually. That would be something where I'd have to chain it up, right?
And the notoriously secure hotel safe, that's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right, now we've got the Bear Trap pen case, which I think... Of all of the sort of like classy, pretentious things that a person can have, I think a pen case or a pencil case is real high on the list.
That seems over the top for my like 75-cent Bic pens that I use. Would that be a little bit of a mixed message maybe to have like a $400 pen case?
Just a tad, Big T.
Just a tad, just a smidge. Now, didn't we read on one of these manhood lists, like in order to be a man, you have to have a really nice fountain pen? Or am I making that up, Piper? Was that a thing?
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure it was on there. If not, it was implied.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right along with your belt and your haircut and your push-ups.
That's right.
So the Bear Trap pen case goes out to Sean Walker. Sean Walker, you are the winner of a pen case, which automatically makes you the person who everybody can't decide whether to respect, resent, or be jealous of. So, congratulations,
They'll hate
Sean.
Respect you, Sean. And also, I hope you have some nice
pens.
Yeah,
that's right. It doesn't even matter. You could stick anything in there. Like you could literally just stick like sliced up pieces of firewood in there. As long as you have the case, it works.
Dude, and it's good if you're cutting your own sliced up pieces of firewood and you're crafting.
That's right. Also on a manhood list.
Absolutely.
Next, we've got the Messenger backpack.
Ooh.
So with bated breath, this goes out to Kyle Grant. Kyle Grant, winner of the Messenger backpack. Ron, is that the backpack you have? Do you know?
Yeah, I have one of the Messengers. Yeah, it's like the smaller one. You can just fit like a tablet and like your phone and a Saddleback wallet inside of it. That's what I use it for.
Mm.
So it's casual, right?
It's when
I want people to know what I'm using, but I don't want to be too flashy and showy about it.
Yeah.
Not overly ostentatious.
Exactly. Well. Correct.
That's your Ashland,
Kyle.
You know?
It's my Ashtown bag for sure. I don't want everyone thinking I'm something I'm not, even though I'm something I am. So I have that in place just to kind of keep everybody wondering. You know,
you don't want them thinking you're some rich mega church pastor that just travels all the time.
It's more exact. It's more guy behind the guy bag.
Guy behind the guy behind the bag. I like it.
So Kyle, Ronnie has given you a very good sense of what vibe you will be giving off with your new Messenger backpack. Congratulations. And last, and definitely not least, we have the Baby Beast. This is like an overnight bag, a really nice leather overnight bag, which I'm sort of salivating at the thought of because it's a beautiful bag. This one goes to Will Standridge. Will Standridge won the Baby Beast. So imagine somebody... traveling. Let's hypothetically say, I don't know, Ronnie. Traveling with the Baby Beast full of, flannels and jackets and boots and things.
Yeah.
also carrying in their front pocket the front ID wallet. Then they have the toiletries bag in the baby beast as well.
Right.
Like this is a full getup. Like a person could feasibly this is a full travel getup right here.
You got
here.
The pen case slipped
the wallet,
into their
the toiletries bag, the pen yeah. case, yeah. yeah. Inside the pen case goes inside the messenger backpack, yeah. which they can pull out at at their nice small regional airport and begin drawing in their moleskins or whatever their favorite
casting.
Notebook
yeah,
is.
Yeah, just writing down some big picture stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Casting a little vision.
Yeah, just it's a blue ocean out there, folks. So those are our winners. Casey Hodges, Kelsey Mattis, Sean Walker, Kyle Grant, Will Standard. Congratulations. You will hear from the folks at Saddleback about getting those items. Congratulations on winning, and thanks for participating in the sponsorship with us.
Pipe, nicely done, and nicely done by us to nail down that sponsorship, man. It's been good working with Saddleback. It's been a lot of fun. Boys, speaking of fun, we have topics, we have things to discuss. And, Piper, you texted over a cryptic one in our pre-show prep. And I want to start with that. You said you had a like book promotional, like marketing question for the two of us. And yes. I don't have to tell you that Ronald and I, as evidenced by our massively successful publishing careers, are book marketing geniuses. So lean on us, Piper, use us. Ron and I are a resource, and we're here for you. So what do you have?
Well, yes, as book marketing geniuses, and as well as men of character, this is something I wanted to throw in front of you. So I have a couple books re-releasing early next year. And so, you know, you get your author copies, they send you whatever. I usually ask for 100 because that's something that they could just send you whatever amount of it doesn't cost them anything. Yeah. So then this is the question. How do you give away your own books? So I'm not talking about the influencer list where you're sending it to people really hoping they'll tweet yeah. about it. I'm talking about like to a coworker or to a family friend or whatever. Where's the line of, hey, I want you to have this, it's brand new, versus the line of, hey, I signed this for you, even though you didn't ask for it, and I'm pretentious?
That is a great question, Piper. And I'm going to let Ronald tackle it first.
Oh, man. So this is where I'm really bad about self-promo, right? So I always feel like it's a little presumptuous to hand one of my masterworks off to somebody. So I don't know. You know, it's weird, man. I'll tell you what, though. Since I wrote this this kid's book mm-hmm. that just came out, that one is easier, right? Because when I'm handing it to somebody, it's like, hey, I think your kids would like this. Here's a gift for you.
Yeah.
So that one comes off a
that
little.
That makes total
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, totally. So it makes it a little less like, hey, I'm just trying to promote myself and I want you to read something brilliant that I wrote or whatever. So that one's been like way less difficult for how I'm wired. But yeah, I don't know. I don't typically do that. Now, close friends, family, I never feel like that's a big deal because they get me. And by get me, I mean my family doesn't get me at all, but I still don't feel bad about handing them a book.
Yeah.
You just know they're not going to read it. So you're like, here, this can go on your shelf. So
I know they're not going to read it. If they do, they're going to read stuff about themselves in it. So I'm half dreading that they actually read it knowing they're not.
Yep.
Right. Anyway, so. But yeah, the other thing, man, I don't know. We did a couple of for this book, we did a couple of, you know, crazy, you know, social media. Here's a funny picture. Do a caption. We'll give away 5 books for the top captions. Mm-hmm. But that's all just like incremental giveaways. You know, I don't know. What do you think, T?
Yeah. So I don't know. I try to like, and this is the like the evil inside my heart. I try to ascertain like who should be buying one and who should get one for free. And it's all unspoken, and it all happens in my heart. And that maybe makes me the worst, but yeah, if somebody, okay, so I feel like if they have resources, but they're trying to do the evangelical thing and like kind of angle and like work me for a free one, then I don't give them one. But if somebody shows genuine interest and they're like, oh man, yeah, that looks so awesome, I'd love to read one of those. Then I'll usually just give them a copy. And it's never more calculated than that. I give my parents free copies of everything I write, even if they don't read them. So they got a big stack of the whole library there at their house. And they enjoy giving them away to friends sometimes. So I'll flip them some extra copies. But yeah, there's really not a like super calculated method that I have for it. Other than if I feel like somebody's really genuinely interested and or, you know, they may not have the extra cashish at the time to get one, I'll usually give them one for free. But if I feel like I'm being worked in any way, like there was a book I wrote. This is a running joke at our church, the church we're currently at, which we love. But like the adoption memoir that came out like 10 years ago now or so. I think as a church body, they purchased one copy of that book, but it's probably been read by 400 people. In that it's just been like passed around the church and dog-eared and like it's barely being bound together anymore. That's how worn out the copy.
It's so sad.
Yeah, but it's so sad in that it would have cost, you could probably get it for pennies on the dollar on Amazon right now. So, but as you guys know, evangelicals are such a cheap lot. You know, the book just gets passed around. But, and I don't think that's an uncommon story for authors. So,
In all seriousness, Ted, you should see if you can get that book re-released because I think you were like 3 years early,
yeah,
or 2 years early on the adoption as popular.
Yeah, no,
window.
We were like a prototype, man.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, no, I know it. And that one, like to this day, that's the one that I get a lot of compliments on. You know, people really seem to enjoy it, and I think I was a little early to the like kind of sudden memoir game. You know, in that. You know, Donnie Miller had just dropped Blue Like Jazz, which was kind of his, you know, Portlandia, you know, deal memoir wise. But yeah, the whole idea of telling a like story that's contained in a certain amount of time, like that really wasn't happening yet. So yeah, a re-release would be cool. Now, Piper, how did you, not to get too deep into the weeds of how the publishing business works, but How did you get these re-release deals? Did you just reach out to the original publishers and be like, hey, I think this would have legs if we did a new cover, a new foreword, whatever?
Well, no, I actually switched publishers. Okay. So my first two books were with a publisher who will go unnamed, although if you have the internet, I'm sure you can figure it out. And that publisher went through multiple leadership changes. So the people who I worked with when I wrote them and signed them have been gone for several years, which... And as an author, like you work with a publishing company, but really you work with an editor or a marketing person. Like there's, you have an advocate or you don't. And it got to the point where I not only didn't have advocates, I was like four generations removed from that.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't, I try very hard not to be like a diva author.
Yeah.
But I was like, they don't even show up at the Gospel Coalition or
that publisher is now owned by like a international arms dealer, you know, if you go up the food chain.
Yeah, or I don't know exactly what's going on with them, but so my books, as far as I can recall, have never been at a Desiring God Pastors Conference, a Together for the Gospel Conference, a Gospel Coalition Conference, like all the things that the Piper last name matters at.
Sure.
And so I just sort of shrugged and was like, I feel like these would do better if they went to somebody who at least showed up to those things.
Yeah.
Not expecting much. So just negotiated a return of the rights to me, which basically means I had to buy out their remaining stock at a very, you know, essentially like at printing costs. And then could take them to another publisher. So they're now with the Good Book Company. And so Help My Unbelief re-releases in January and The Pastor's Kid re-releases in June. And I'm working on another book with the Good Book Company that'll be a new one coming out sometime later in the year.
Nice.
So I wasn't sure how it was going to work, but it's, I'm glad that they're in the hands of people who I think they get it. And then they're kind of part of the right tribe, if you will, for where if I have an audience, they're in that tribe. So it'll be, I don't expect major things, but it'll just be nice to have them in front of people and kind of give them fresh legs a little bit.
I like it. Pipe, now how do you deal with giving away copies? This was your question, so I assume you had some awkward situations.
Well, so my biggest thing on this is I feel like a total douche to be like, here's my book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I also know that a lot of people feel very self-conscious to go, man, I'd love a copy. Mm-hmm. And so there's this weird, awkward, like, I don't want to offer, you don't want to ask, but you definitely want a copy. And you're the kind of person I would just give one to. Yeah. Like in my office at church, I have, you know, 6 or 7 copies of the former editions of my books, and I'm happy to give them away. But also, I'm not just like, hey, you want one of those? Because it you remember the scene in What About Bob? where Bob Wiley goes into Leo Marvin's office and he has like 9 shelves of his own books. And he's like, Bob, there's a book I'd like you to read. Uh-huh. And he kind of hems and haws and then pulls one off and hands it to him. I feel like Leo Marvin when I give people my books.
Dr. Leo Marvin, great character, great guy too.
Yeah. Lovely man. That whole premise is where I was coming from. Because there's a couple people who I work with who I would love to give one to, but I don't want to be that guy who's like, I wrote a book. I think you'd like a copy.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the scenario that I was trying to navigate. And I don't have any better sense of how to do that because it's a personal interaction, you know?
For sure.
Or here's another scenario. Maybe this is one that's easier to navigate. Periodically, you know, pastors will come through town for conferences and they'll say, hey, can we grab coffee or something like that? Do I bring my books to that and say, hey, just thought I'd give you these? Mm. Or do I just pretend my books don't exist?
Yeah, I usually err on the side of pretending they don't exist unless, like, the other guy brings it up. But yeah, then do you have to run back to the office? I don't know, man. The etiquette on this one is weird. Maybe you just stick them into your $700 Saddleback leather bag, and if it comes up in conversation, you can casually reach in there and produce a book. Maybe that's the elegant solution. I don't know.
That feels so like, I just happened to have one of those with me. I signed it
exactly.
To you, by the way.
I wrote your name in the flap and wrote a nice note to you, and I just happened to have it with me. Yeah, it's weird, man. There's no blueprint for this.
Ron, do you carry copies of your own books with you? Maybe for like the first 6 months after it releases, in case you encounter somebody who needs them. Because especially doing what you do, which is you're at a fair number of denominational and conference kinds of things where there's sort of a networky vibe. How do you handle that?
I mean, literally never. I mean, I'm so opposed. I mean, I've literally to this day never worn one of my own band T-shirts. You know, I mean, I just despise that. Like, altogether. It's like if somebody wants something, they'll ask for it. And man, if they genuinely want it, I'll give it to them. But the whole, you know, being too obvious about being too proud about being too promotional mm-hmm. about your own product. I just, maybe it's because I've released so much product, you know, when you add up all the music. So I just, it like just destroys me even thinking.
Dude, no, you should, Piper and I think you should lean hard into the band T-shirt thing. I would like for you to go a week where every day you wear a different band T-shirt that you've been in, and just
I literally gauge don't think reaction. I could get it over my head. I don't think I could get my big head through like the loop.
They need to make a bigger
like,
loop.
It's
they
so like, I mean, I'd be pulling it in, and there's like the shirt would be resist, like everything in me would be resisting. I don't think my arms would form like pulling it over my head like that. I just can't do it.
I mean, you'd it's be so covering bad. It with 14 jackets anyway. So like,
hey, you know what? You got a point.
Yeah.
You got a point.
Elegance,
you know, yeah. And that's no judgment on anybody that does that because I honestly don't care. It's just a personal thing.
Yeah,
I really don't care.
I get it. I get it.
I can't even wear one of our church T-shirts. I mean, I've literally never even like owned one of those. It just feels like, well, dude, what are you trying to say when you wear that thing? Come to my church.
Dude, your church
T-shirts? Is better. Yeah, of course we have T-shirts. Of course,
that's amazing. We don't have T-shirts.
Of course we have T-shirts. Well, because I mean, of course you don't, but of course we do.
Yeah.
Of course you don't.
Are they V-neck?
No, we don't have V-necks, but they're like that super meshy, like nice material.
Oh,
yeah, the super like soft cotton.
Oh, feels they're beautifully
like
soft.
You're wearing a
they
cloud.
Would resell Substance for like $25.
Substance Church, the gospel and the softest shirts in America.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Boys, can I tell you one more book story along these lines? This happened like this year. So I was having lunch with a friend here in Jackson.
Oh, no.
And we were at this place and we were talking and there was a guy like a table or two over and I could tell he was kind of listening to us. He was kind of eavesdropping, a little bit older guy. And as we were getting up to leave, he sort of casually ambles over and he put like a flyer on our table. And it was obviously like a very self-produced, you know, homemade kind of flyer. And he was like, hey, I couldn't help but overhearing because I was listening to every word that... You know, you couldn't help but overhearing in that I was basically leaning my head on your table. That you guys are authors, you guys are writers. He's like, I just want you to know I'm a writer too. And I want you to take these flyers, and there's a little bit of information about my books in here.
Wow.
And we're like, wow, okay, you know, that sounds great, thank you. And he walked away, and I looked at the flyer, and the particular like sub genre that he writes in is like erotica for older people. And you know, as soon as I read the title,
Senior Erotica.
What's the name of that that community in Florida?
The Villages. I have people who live there. Sadly,
I know. I was going to say you've spent holidays there before. Is this all set in the Villages?
If so, then I want to die. But yeah, it probably is. The Villages has probably launched a lot of senior erotica over the years, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't think I've ever wanted to. Well, no, I'm not gonna go into that, man. We could do a whole app on the Villages.
Senior Erotica.
Oh, I love it, baby. I love it. See, you're a marketing genius. This guy needs to.
That's how my mind works. I don't give away anything. I just think of the thing.
Dude, you got t-shirts. Got t-shirts though. I want to see these substance tees. Can you?
Boys, I should just send you a couple of tees.
Oh,
let's do
baby,
it.
Baby, send me a couple of tees. You can kind of sponsor.
Absolutely.
You can be me and Pipe's t-shirt sponsor for an episode.
Absolutely. I'll sponsor
wearing a church t-shirt. Wearing a church t-shirt is like having a fish sticker on your car. Like, there's no way to live up to that.
I mean, except our t-shirts look like band t-shirts, so you can't.
Well, and the name of his church is so nebulous. Like, nobody's going to know what it is anyway, right?
Yeah, it's the title of a Joy Division album, so everybody's just going to think. Everybody's literally going to think you're wearing a Joy Division shirt. You are in such good hands in our shirt.
Absolutely. You
know? I just don't trust myself enough to publicly brand myself with something that like overtly Christian. Because somebody's going to go, oh.
Well, it's not like a Lord's Gym t-shirt from the 90s. I mean, this is Ron we're talking about. You probably can't even see the logo. That's how minimalist it is.
They're just blank shirts.
It's already
there is
stated.
No logo.
Exactly.
We just order blank shirts, no print.
Exactly. Oh, I love it.
You know, there's a total, like, that's actually kind of genius, because it'd be like, you know, if the people are the church and you are the witness, then yeah, like, just the blank t-shirt totally works. You could do a whole sort of metaphorical thing around
that. You could do a whole sermon series on that.
Well, boys, in terms of logos, it really is small. So, like, if you're standing back 10 feet, you really wouldn't know what they're wearing, you know? I mean, it's not in your face at all, you know?
That's good. That's marketing, baby. Good marketing for the church. Do you have a little like nook or a little kiosk at the building there where people can buy those, like on a Sunday morning?
It's incredible to me that you would even ask that. Of course we do.
I know, baby.
So we have a little kiosk that has our shirts, mm-hmm. has books.
What's the decorating?
We've had some of your guys' books in there.
Do you really?
So of course.
Baby, that's huge.
Of course.
What's the decorating motif of the kiosk? Is it like early industrial, or is it like woodworking, or what's the hipster? Like, what kind of hipster wheelhouse are we in here?
It's kind of just a typical, it kind of goes with the warehouse vibe where we just have like wooden shelves with the books. And then we have like a little like roll up like wooden kiosk that has there like the shirts all stacked.
Oh,
and
I love it.
Yeah, man. It looks great.
Dude, you got one of those little boards where you put the little white letters in there and it spells things like all the kind of suburban moms have.
No, I mean, it's basically the prototype of that.
Okay.
We have like chalk.
Oh, chalk.
Like, we write things in chalk and all that. Yeah,
chalk was a hipster thing circa a few years ago.
Well, which is now a mom, like kids going back to school. The kid holds the chalkboard that says like first day, first grade. So you got that vibe.
It's a little dated. We're getting ready to move on with a little more modern touch.
Baby, what's next? What's the next hipster aesthetic that we're leaning into?
I don't know. I think it's going to be a little less wood and palette, and a little more. It's going to be a little more like Magnolia vibe.
Dude, you know what? It's crazy. I was just reading in Spurgeon this morning, and he was like, kind of grappling through
nice
a lot of the same
hashtag humble.
Yeah, a lot of the same things he was grappling with. Do I go like traditional palette or Magnolia? You know. So,
oh man, that's all he talked about.
That's all this guy. Writing, you can't get him to shut up about that stuff.
He's wrestling.
He's wrestling. He's grappling. Exactly.
The Prince of Preachers wrestling.
The Prince of Preachers. These are pastoral
wrestling
problems.
Through shiplap.
Absolutely.
I mean, I want to be known as the Prince of Shiplap.
Shiplap. Yeah. I mean, and Spurgeon grappled with this, right? How much shiplap? When do I incorporate it? You know, these.
I think he set the stage for Big R here. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know,
he really did.
I'm not Baptist enough to be into Spurgeon, though. I got to find somebody else that I can align with.
You know what? He.
Oh yeah, you're like a Thomas Merton homeboy or something like that. You got to go. Or like,
I guess. I've never even read him. I know I'm supposed to, but I haven't.
Baby, if you think Thomas Merton didn't Eugene fight Peterson. The shiplap battle ahead of you, then you're crazy. So
no, because you know he did.
You know he did. You know
nobody nobody filled with that much angst was not fighting shiplap battle.
He was really wrestling with the shiplap. You know what? What do I do? How much? How soon? These are real issues.
Guys, to say that it's not a real issue or real struggle is just denying what's going on in your heart.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, you look at the shiplap plank in your own eye before you look at, you know, like.
Dude, that we need to write a new translation.
That's it.
I mean, I think that's it.
That goes in the hipster study Bible, you know?
Absolutely. Hipster study Bible. I mean, do you think Crossway would be interested in that big
time? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're already making calls. In fact, I'm getting a call off.
Guys, I just finished the Book of Romans as we were talking.
Oh, there you go. I love it.
It's short. It's really short.
Boys, speaking of the...
We don't want to expose it too deeply, right? It needs to be short and succinct.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you don't want to pull these guys away from their shiplap and their pallets and their you know, whatever. But... boys, we have to be pulled away from this program soon. But before we do, we got like 5 more minutes. I want to ask you guys what you're watching or reading lately that you're enjoying. People like it when we do this, and I'm going to get us started with a weird one. You guys are going to judge me for it. So we're going to pivot away from judging Ron for his shiplap, and you guys can judge me for the fact that.
Honestly, I was more jealous of Ron than I was judging. I mean, so it was sort of like the jealousy judge, not the I think that's wrong.
Well,
judge.
Baby, listen.
Judge-y.
As Spurgeon wrote, the shiplap is there for everybody, right? All you have
that's
to do.
That's a great quote by Spurgeon.
All you have to do is accept the shiplap, okay? Now, does the shiplap do the wooing? Maybe. I think so. But it's there for everybody.
I don't even know what that means.
I like it, though. Yeah. I don't care what it means. I like it.
It's just pastoral, boys. I'm being pastoral.
It is pastoral.
You're the men of the cloth, though. I leave it to you to interpret the shiplap. I just, you know, kind of raise the
so
top.
Spurgeon.
So
Spurgeon of you.
Boys, the thing I'm enjoying is, did you guys, you didn't. I already know that you didn't. I feel like most middle school age boys go through a phase where they love professional wrestling. Piper, I could see you having gone through that. Ronald, definitely not.
I would say I dabbled. Yeah, there was like ages, I don't know, 14 to 17 kind of. And a lot of it was built around, it was during the Nintendo 64 days, and there was a WWE versus WCW game.
Dude, that was such a great game. I remember that. So my son Maxim is like the perfect age for this now. And there's a new league. It comes on TNT, a new wrestling league, like to rival the WWE, and it's called AEW, All Elite Wrestling. And I've started watching this with Mazzy, and we love it. We're like addicted to it now. We watch it every week. It's like our thing to do together, and deep nostalgic vibes for me. So it takes me back to that middle school like time period where I loved wrestling and cared about it, and. The thing about AEW is, like, there's no jobber matches. There's no, like, easy ones. So everybody in this league is, like, a high flyer. There's always, like, tons of high spots. It's really cool, and it's really fun. And by really cool, I mean unspeakably dorky. But it's a lot of fun, and we're enjoying it. So that's mine. Piper, what about you? Reading, watching, what are you enjoying?
Man, it has been like a viewing desert for me the last several months, both because of lack of time. When one is on a writing deadline, one must prioritize things. But also just because I haven't seen anything come out that I'm like, man, that looks amazing. Yeah. But reading-wise, I just finished up a book by Don Winslow called The Border. So it's he did a trilogy about a DEA agent basically fighting the drug war along the Mexican border over the course of like 3 decades. So it covers, you know, 30 years of this guy's life or something like that. And he's one of the best sort of realistic fiction authors I've read. This is one of those books that I probably should do a disclaimer and be like, it's a little gritty, has some content, sure. Et cetera. But he's a phenomenal storyteller, paces the books really well, and then has a really good understanding of sort of the ins and outs of like all the difficulties and like the intrigue and all of that of the drug war, the political side of things, the individual effects on people. He weaves in bit characters and all this. He's a genius. So it's called the Power of the Dog series. The book was called The Border, but I just finished that. I loved it. I think Winslow's phenomenal.
Nice, Pipe. Big R, what about you? What are you enjoying lately besides Shiplap?
Dude, I got nothing, man. I'm a little more aspirin. I'm finishing up Downton Abbey season 6.
Nice.
And, like I do every fall. And I'm a little more aspirational, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm married to a woman who doesn't like movies, but I love movies. So that's the one thing we don't have in common. Matt, but here's a movie I want to see. Maybe you boys have seen it.
Yeah.
I want to see Ford versus Ferrari.
Dude, Pipe and
Christian
I were
Bale and Matt Damon.
We were literally just talking about this off the air when you were having your tech problems. So my kid saw it. He's 17. And yeah, he came home absolutely raving about it. Said it was like,
it's gotten great reviews.
Yeah, it's kind of a Mount Rushmore for him, man. It's on there. It's on his Mount Rushmore of movies. And
it's kind of like a movie that they don't really like. They don't really make movies like that. And you know,
no,
it's not a Marvel Universe movie,
it's not
right?
Franchise.
So it's a one-off.
It's going to be a one-off.
Right. So it's kind of a classic, sort of end of year kind of vehicle.
Great actors.
And it just looks great, and I'm really looking forward
to it.
So, baby,
I'm actually going to see it tonight, man. I'm going with my brother-in-law and all the nephews, and we're gonna go check it out tonight.
Just imagine if we were in Fort Wayne right
now. Oh, baby, Fort Wayne, city of dreams, at that Hyatt place with the, the concrete bunker megaplex, like, attached to it. That was too good, Ron.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
too good for it to last, and it didn't last.
And it didn't last, so exactly. It was too good, unlike the show that we were doing in Fort Wayne.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. Boys.
That's all I got, man. That's all I got. Sorry, boys.
No, it's okay. It's okay. A little disappointing, but your mind is on Shiplap, and I give you that because you're a pastor, and you need to...
And holiday pastries.
Shiplap, holiday pastries.
Don't sell them short.
That's Father, happening right now down in the kitchen, boys. Big yeah. M is just cooking.
Ronnie Christmas is getting into full swing here.
Oh, it's full swing.
Baking all manner of things that you won't be eating. So
a cranberry tart is on the menu.
Now,
boys.
Can you eat that? Is that on the Whole 30?
That will be consumed. Well, I let it go for tomorrow.
There you go.
I let it go.
Yeah, you gotta live your life, baby. Gotta live a little.
Exactly.
And boys, we have to all live our lives. Meaning, we should get off the air and draw this episode to a close.
Please.
Because we've done what we always do. We've wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time,
the Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Do you ever hear sayings make their way through the culture and the church that seem nice in theory, but are actually theologically problematic? My name is Shara Donahue, and I'm the host of The Bible Never Said That, a podcast where we examine these popular sayings under the lens of biblical truth. We cover sayings like, God won't give you more than you can handle, time heals all wounds, and follow your heart. We also spend time exploring how people use Bible verses out of context. If you want to grow in discernment and truth, join us and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.